Perek Shlish is a hamshach, it's a continuation, but it could also be understood separately. So the Maral has been telling us about the unique stature of the Adam, and within that world of the Adam, of Yisrael, of the Jewish people, and the unique devices that the Baruch Shalom has designed to accommodate the development of that person who's a sichli, who's lamalam na tava, who's above tava. And we were talking about this at great length. This is one of the famous prokem in the Maral's writings. Every sentence here contains very big yesidus, so let's go through it carefully. Omnam al tita b'dvarim elu. The Maral's word, we might make a mistake. We might misunderstand something. Lishlol hashleimus on page samach. Huh? I was talking in the wrong place, yeah. Ha'adam, because you'll see, he has a similar. I'm sorry. He says, Ha'adam in mightless navsho ha'elokis asher kvar manu ki yesh lo nefesh elokis befrat shaloi nimtza b'chol nafshos ha'tachtayinim. The Maral says that the Adam with the maila of the nefesh elokis, with this godly soul that he possesses, asher kvar manu, that we've already said, that the human being, specifically the Jew, possesses this nefesh elokis, this unique godly soul that is not found anywhere else amongst anybody else in the world. We're learning Hilchos Einoa here too, at least in the morning and the night. Which means you might deceive yourself. Knowing, there is always this problem. You know that the Rebbe Rabbunim used to say that the Jew has to have in one pocket, he has to have Bishvili Nivra Olam, that the world was created for me, and in the other pocket he has to have, it says Ofev Eifer, Anoichi Ofev, that I'm dirt, I'm ashes. And you have to know when to reach into the right pocket, what's the right time. If you mix those pockets up, God forbid, you're in big trouble, right? You have to know. So the Maral says there's a danger. After having worked out to some degree this inyan of the nefesh elokis, of the godly soul, and understanding that there's something unique about an adam, a human being, and specifically about a Jew, so one might deceive himself into thinking, that's what he says, Al yikabel aino ba'atz my loymer ki yesh lo ma'aloso ha'achroni b'poil. You might deceive yourself into thinking, I'm already here. After all this talk, all these wonderful things I hear about the nefesh elokis, and I'm so different, I'm unique, I'm special. So you've come to the conclusion that therefore you're finished working. You're done. You're already in a state of shleimus. V'yachshoy benavshoy sholem yili. I'm fine. Af imani yoshev batel mibli omel klal. I don't have to achieve anything. I possess, by virtue of the fact that I'm an Adam, that I'm and amongst all the Bnei Adam in this world, I'm a Ben Yisrael, I'm a Jew. So I'm already, it's already a fait accompli. I'm already a Ben Olam Haba. I'm already somebody that is a Amach Kulam Sadikim, La'olam Yeshu Arad. So therefore, why should I have to struggle? Why should I have to work? Sholem Yili. Even if I don't do anything. Hari Hamayla Shalom Umadregoso Yogin Alav. The feeling that this person has as he descends into complacency, the feeling that he has a sense of security and smugness that tells him, even if I do nothing at all, I, by my very nature, I am such an exalted person. That's who I am. I'm a Ben Yisrael. Therefore, this Milo that I have will protect me, will defend me. Am l'koyma yishivenu al v'kino yachzirenu. Which is a fancy way of saying that this person thinks that he doesn't need anybody, he doesn't need anyone, everything is already contained within him, and therefore it's unnecessary for him to seek continued self-growth. It's unnecessary for him to be an introspective person. It's unnecessary for him to feel as somebody who is desperately in need of help. after we understand the Madrega and the Maila of a Jew. So why should I have to seek any of those things? Look at footnote 3.
So
his thoughts are as follows. It says in the Gemara, if you see a tzaddik that God forbid was sinning at night, don't worry about it, because certainly he already did tshuva. So this person's way of thinking is that even if something goes terribly wrong in my life, even if I commit the most horrible crime, that ultimately I'm going to return to my exalted state, because that's my natural state. And there is, after all, something to base this upon. There is something to it. The Maral writes by Riches there in the Netzach Yisrael that all of creation is yearning to return to its natural place, to its place of origin. That's true. That's why we can't stand, no matter how many years we've been outside of Eretz Yisrael, we haven't been with the Beis HaMikdash, we feel uncomfortable. Jews are homesick even when they're home, because this isn't their real home. And it's the same thing with the Nefesh HaLukis, that a Jew by nature feels uncomfortable being far away from Hashem. So everything in the world is naturally moving towards its Mokam HaTivi, all of nature. Everything is in this great movement towards its Mokam HaTivi, its natural place. Vahim Chutzlum Kaima. Therefore, when the Maral explains there at the beginning of Netzach Yisrael, whenever something is not in its place, Ein Lehem Amid Mamakam HaBilti Tivi Lehem. They can't be there. They cannot be there indefinitely. If it's not your place, you can't continue on indefinitely in that place. You can't. Rakim Chozrim Lemakam HaTivi. Eventually, there must be a return to the Mokam HaTivi, to the natural place. So therefore, so since this applies to all of reality, so one would think it has to do with the Maila of who I am also. That one is confident that no matter what I'm doing wrong, ultimately I'll return to my Maila Elokis, to that godly level that I was on. This, of course, generates within the person the philosophy of Echtav Al Shuv. I can continuously do Averis, and I'll do Tshuva. I don't even have to do Tshuva. It'll happen to me. I'll be fixed. Something will happen. Therefore, he thinks of his mistakes, of his downfalls, of his sins, as being temporarily out of order. And there is something, the bigger picture of the Bria of the world, there is something to be said for that. Nevertheless, without going into the inyan of the two ways of Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, which I spoke about a little bit in the past, our avoda is the avoda Mashiach ben Yosef. That means our avoda is not to sin. There are no chachmas. Our avoda in this world is to perfect ourselves, is to stay far removed from all the wives of Potiphar and those types, and to do what we can to survive as Jews, and to be careful with every single Mishnah Berurah, every single Morgan of Raman Taz. That's our job. There is a thing called Mashiach ben David. There is that which is called the Inyan of the Yichud, which the Ramchal calls the Inyan of the Unification, the Yichud, which Hashem Yisbaruch is bringing. Sometimes there's the Inyan of Mashiach ben David in the family of Yehuda and David HaMelech and Leah Imenu's family. There are very unusual Inyanim that are taking place. And there are Nefilas, there are Yeridas, and so on. And all this is part of the great master plan of the Baruch Shalom in that world of Mashiach ben David, of the family of Yehuda. But that's not our cheshbon. In other words, that cheshbon of Amach Kulam Sadikim L'Olam Yeshu Aris does not entitle me to do anything wrong with my life intentionally, and to say, what's the nafkimin? There's no difference between tzaddik karosh. What's the difference between me and a tzaddik? The tzaddik is right now a tzaddik, and I'm a tzaddik. I was, I will be, and for the moment I'm having a bad day. That's not. That mentality is a mentality that is very dangerous. Although there is truth to it, but it's a truth of b'mechus memcha. But those things that are concealed from us, we have to be careful that it's not our business, not to gaze into places that are not ours. Our job is to be worthy of containing within us this madrega, this maila elukis. So back on top, ve'ein tzarich liknas leishum maila. So this fellow might think, I don't have to acquire any milas. I'm already there. I have all the milos. So as I spoke about at the end last week from Avraham Eger, that piece that I mentioned to you, that I'm already a kli. I'm already a kli that's completely finished. And we saw, and I mentioned to you last week, the davka kli that's completely finished is what? It can be makabel tumah. That thought that I'm already a shalom, that thought that I'm already here, that I've already reached my place, that machshav is pigle. It's a disgrace. It's disgusting. That's the Maral saying. That is a thought that is unacceptable. Don't think this way. It's a mistake that you're making. It's a mistake with your nefesh. It's a mistake in understanding your soul, and it's a mistake that could, God forbid, cost you your soul. The Maral says to each and every one of us, listen. You have that potential. You have unbelievable things cooking inside. You have unbelievable kaiches. But all that's contained within you is not in a state of bepoel, has not been activated. The Baruch Shem left everything in that, as the Kotzke, the way that the Kotzke put it, is that the Baruch Shem lowered a ladder into this world and he left it dangling ever so slightly above man's reach. And that effort to reach the bottom rung of the ladder and to climb up that ladder, that's man's bechira. And that gives man the ability to be mighty, to extract those kaiches that are within him, those kaiches elokiyos, those godly kaiches that are within him, to bring them in hakayach elapal, that they should become activated in his life. But he's not created with these kaiches in bepoel. V'chiyala al das adam shiyanimsel adam alasa acharene bepoel. Do you think, is this something that you can imagine? That what? That already in your present state, without any amelus, without any effort, without any work, that all of these madregas, that all of these things should be already bepoel, should actually be functioning in your life in a real and viable way in your day-to-day life? Kizoh madregas ha'elyoinim shehem bepoel. That's the madrega of the elyoinim shehem bepoel. That means, as explained in footnote 5, the madrega of a malach, the madrig of an angel is that an angel doesn't have to work on himself. An angel doesn't have to learn Mesias Sharam and Archas Tzadikim. An angel is what he is. That's his shlichus. He's defined by the nature of his shlichus, of what he has to accomplish. And he doesn't have to be mighty his kaiches. He doesn't have to be in a kaich l'apoil. That's not something which is in a state of potential that has to be revealed through his hard efforts. Therefore, as he brings down a footnote 5, look in 5, L'shani ben Etzach Yisrael Chav Beis, Ein l'malachim kinyan ma'ila yoyser. A malach cannot earn a higher madrega. An angel, a malach, is not capable of earning higher madregas. Shem nishorim k'moy shehem nimtsoyim bepoil. A malach is completely bepoil. Its kaiches are activated. The button is turned on from the moment of its creation. That's what it is. Vein koinin madrega yoyser gedoyle. They cannot acquire a higher madrega. He writes, they're not makabel anything in addition to their bria. And in this respect, a malach and a behemoth share much in common. This is, of course, a sublime, exalted spiritual being. And this is a lowly animal. But in terms of that status of being oimdim, of being in a place that can't change, they resemble each other. That's why a malach is called an oimed, the one who stands, where a human being is called a mahalach, one who is walking, as it says in the Novi Zechariah. Yosem asher b'yosem b'atzmam, rakem oimdim b'havayosem k'moshe nivru b'atzmam, that's how they were created, that's how they stand. O lahal en chavdal kosov, ha'al yoinim kulam yeshlam adreg al yoinim b'atzmam, ena makablam. A malach is not a makabal. A malach means there's no struggle in the life of a malach to be able to receive higher madregas, to be able to move from one level to another. An Adam is a kli. That means that an Adam senses in his life emptiness. He feels that something is missing. He feels that something is not there. Because the Baruch Shalom has created him in a way where he's taka in his physical life as he is here. Not before he was sent down, but in this world, the Baruch Shalom shows you those desert places inside of you. The Baruch Shalom shows you those gaps. So that you should be able to be, might see them, all these koiches that you have al apoyel. That's why the first thing that the Baruch Shalom told any one of us was Leich Lecha. What's the Baruch Shalom told, which he says in the Zohar Kodesh, that Avra means the Neshama, Sarah means the Guf. Avra means the neshama. The Zohar says that Avra means the soul and Sarah means the body. But Yom Hashem al Avram Lech Lecha. As the first thing that the Baruch Shalom told our grandfather, the first thing he told him, I'm not saying he's a joke, that's a machloik, is what was the din of the others. We like to say, to use that word, but the first thing the Baruch Shalom told any one of us was, go. The first words of the Baruch Shalom wasn't Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, Smach Tayyid. You'd think, you know, something, the first thing that the Baruch Shalom would have asked, something, there'd be a little bit introductory statement of some sort. I really appreciate your Avaida for all these years, and you're searching for me, and it's impressive, v'chulu v'chulu. The first thing the Baruch Shalom says is, get out of here. Lech Lecha. So the Svarma Kedoshim say, because thus is thus. That is the first, the beginning of something is always the defining characteristic, right? Like Reb Tzedek has a klal, that the first time you find the word in Tanakh, if you want to understand what that word really means in Panemius, the first place it's found in Tanakh, that's what it really means. Every beginning is a defining point. The beginning means this is its tafkid, this is its tachlis, and now it's ready to set out on its journey. And the first thing the Baruch Shalom tells one of us, the first thing he told Avraham Avinu was Lech Lecha, go, because that is Lech Lecha means that that your tafkid is to carry out your tafkid. It means that you're not in a state of shleimus. You have a shleimus. You have the potential to reach a level beyond the malach. But in your present unrefined state, without your amelus, without a lifetime of effort, of of yegiyah, of entire mitzvahs, and avodas hamayach v'halev, you are not. And in that respect, you are lower than a behemah. Because a behemah doesn't have what to be mashlim, which the Maharal is going to explain a little bit later. The behemah is what it is. But a human being has the ability to draw out these kaychas, and that's what Lech Lecha means. And in order to do that, it has to be Me'artzichom, Me'latchom, Be'savichom, and what the Zohar Kodesh goes to what each of those means, it's not for now. What does it mean, Artzicha, the artsy is to pull yourself out of your obsession with physical things? And the meaning of Me'latchom, what does it mean, Me'latchom means that there are certain strikes against us because there could be things in the past where parents, grandparents were not always behaving in the holiest way, that it causes our neshamas to come into this world already with difficulties. Only Be'savichom means that we become so hooked on the ways of the past that we sometimes can't grow out of the way that our parents or our grandparents. There are many wonderful things that they were thinking, but a person has to decide how can I become a Jew? What do I have to do? It means to go. It means the first thing the Baruch Shalom says is to be mashlim yourself. What's the Svarma Kedoshim say? Lech lecha means to delve and to go within yourself. Lecha, to discover yourself who you are, and that's the tachlis of a Jew. And a malach doesn't have this. A malach is bepoil. All of his kaychas, they're not potential. They're not dormant. He is created in the state of complete and total readiness to carry out the Baruch Shalom's will. A human being is not. A human being is created with all of the potential, even greater than a malach. But whether or not he's going to do that is a lifetime struggle. Back on top. After five. Ki zeh madregas hal yoinim shehim bepoil, aval hatachtoinim shehim balei chaymer, einim bepoil. But a human being, now here we're going to have to read the footnote also, there's a very big insight, there's a human being who is a bal chaymer, a human being who divides his life between the spiritual and the physical, sof kosof, the human being, is the neshama of a human being is in a physical body, so therefore einim bepoil. A human being is not bepoil. And the fact that man is a Baal Chaimer, this fact, that man has to contend with that physical part of himself and all of those drives that are physical, all that's pulling him away from the truth and away from his deeper kaychas, here the Maharal says that this fact, that man in his natural state, before working on himself, certainly has not reached the Maila Achreina, ad shenechshav, ad kedekach, to the point that it should be considered Madrigosa ben Helyoinim, that he should be like a Malach, that he should be that he has a Madrega ben Helyoinim amongst those supernal beings. Via like Mahalchim ben Ha'imdim Ha'ela, that he should be on a Madrega as someone who is walking amongst those who are standing, which is the Nevuah in Zechariah, that a human being is considered to be a Mahalach, a human being is a Lech Lecha, who has the ability to reach the level where he's able to be a mahalach, where a malach, an angel, will look at a human being with jealousy, with envy. that a human being is able to constantly acquire more and more and more, whereas a malach is stuck in its reality. Raksha niver b'kayach, the Maral says. A human being was created with one thing, b'kayach, with that potential. If ain't a pearl, it hasn't been activated. Shein lo ma'aloso acharein b'pearl, he does not have that final ma'ala, b'pearl, that's something that he has to accomplish. Look at footnote 6. Yisoid nofutz b'sifrei Maral, k'mesh akosu b'gevurus Hashem. Ein lecha dovishu b'kayach, v'einu b'shleimus. Rak ha-geshem b'kayachas ha-geshem. Everything the Maral says in this world, everything in this world of Gashmias in the physical world is in a state of Bekoyach, it's not Bepoil. This is not a perfect world. Everything here is imperfect. Vein ha-geshem Bepoil, ki kol geshem hu Bekoyach, l'shanos ha-matzev b'tnuim imakam l'makam. We learned this a little bit, we spoke about this last parak, that the nature of all things in reality are to be in a constant state of movement. Even doimim, even the inanimate objects of this world are part of the great movement of the world of the earth. Right? Everything is schlepped along. All things are moving. And we learned about this in the, we learned about this last parak, that that motion, that movement indicates that everything is seeking its perfection, but it's not there. Because in a state of perfection, perfection means it's no longer necessary to be moving towards a goal. You're there already. When it says that tzaddikim ain't lahem menucha, they don't have menucha, not in this world, not in the world to come, as it says, v'yelcha michayel achayel, that the tzaddik is in a constant state of motion, it is an indication that there are levels of perfection upon levels of perfection on ain kates, v'ain saif. Even in the Olam HaEmes, which we're not going to get into right now, where the neshama is being continuously refined to be brought to even higher levels. Therefore, the fact that something is in a state of movement, it's moving towards something. And it's moving towards its shleimus, but it's not there. He says, therefore, lekach dover hagashmi eno baha shloma. Therefore, this world is not a place of menucha. And if it looks to you like there are people that you know that they seem to have a very quiet and steady life, and it seems that they have a very relaxed life, that the one that is free of all turbulence, and you envy that person, that's either a simmer that you don't see what the person is really about, A, or B, that that person is so far from shleimus that he's trying to impersonate a rock or a boulder. But a human being, b'teva, is in a constant state of lachatz, of pressure, because he hears every moment of his life. A real Jew hears every moment of his life just when he's starting to relax, and his bikesh leisha b'shalva, and he wants to sit in a nice, quiet, and peaceful way. The Baruch Shalom leans over and says, lech lecha. And you can never be without that. A Jew can never go without hearing Lech Lecha. So, Bikesh Yaakov, Leisha B'Shalfim, Yaakov, Shalav, Rogzal, Shayai, Seif. Yaakov Avinu sought to finally, after all that work, Yaakov Avinu sought a way of menuch in this world. And the Baruch Shalom brought upon him the Rogz of Yosef, that whole tzara of what happened with Yosef at Tzadik. Which it says, and I don't remember which Sefer I saw it, could be they say from the Primish Lana of Meryl, that what jumped upon him? Yosef. What does Yosef mean? Yosef means to add. To add. Right? It means to go weiter. Bikesh Yaakov Leisha B'Shalva, there's something inside of us that tells us that we don't have to move anymore towards Hashlama. It's enough already. It must speak. This is a very great sickness that exists among many of our, many Jews. That a person figures, you know, I've had many, many parents, especially when they have, let's say you have a son or a daughter that's getting really into the learning and starting to take it seriously. And again, the parents starting to get nervous. You know, I sent the kid to yeshiva. I even let her go to HSL. Let him go to HSL. I didn't know that they were going to take it this seriously. So the parents starting to get nervous. And then the parents will say something in front of the children that if they stop and think about how it's the opposite of what Yiddishkeit is all about. The Baruch Shalom said, Lech Lecha. And this is a parent that will say to a child, you know something, sweetheart? I'm happy the way we are. This is a lesson that I have heard parents say, nice parents. I've heard this hundreds if not thousands of times. You know, we belong to an Orthodox shul. Your father goes to a shir twice a week. We're happy the way we are. Please don't rock the boat. So the Baruch Shalom says, Lech Lecha. And your parents are saying, Vayeshev. You know, so this is a problem. The whole message of being a Jew is Lech Lecha. The whole meaning of a yid is to be in a constant state of motion. Only when someone's a bal geshem, and this is a painful thing to acknowledge, because it's very hard to take a person who wears a yarmulke and a talis katan and that goes to a nice Orthodox shul and sings Baruch Shmei and everything, it's very hard to tell a person like that, you know something, I have to tell you, my friend, you're a piece of Geshem. You're shtick Gashmias. I'm Gashmias? Like, what do you mean? I daven, I put on tefillin? Because you have to realize that if you're a Bal Ruach, then you are going to acknowledge that you're not in a state of Shleimus. Vaharaya, isn't it true that you want more? So he says, of course I want. So what do you want? Well, right now, this year I only earned such and such. There was only this and this margin of profit. Next year I anticipate a better year. Yeah, and what else? I would like to see, you know, we're working on an extension to my kitchen. Then my house is limited this year. Bez Hashem, next year the house will be able to grow. So you could say so if I suppose you're a person that you are Bal Ruach. In other words, you are dreaming of growth and expansion. The only difference between you and your child is that your child wants to expand the Nisham and you're trying to expand the Guf. But both of you are Balei Chaimer, because in this world of Chaimer, everybody is moving towards something. If you're not, then you have no purpose in living, and then you either just lie in bed till you die, or you just watch television a lot, or you, God forbid, you can't stand to be in this world, and you just end your life. Otherwise, everybody has something that they're striving towards or for. The only difference is, what is your tachlis? What's your goal? Is your goal in this world? Are you a Bal Geshem? Are you a Bal Chaimer that all you could want and all you could look forward to is something of this world? Or are you a Bal Ruach? Are you somebody that's looking forward to and striving towards something of that other world? But that's that's the nature of all things, that they're in this. Everything is in a state of ishleimus, of not being in a state of shleimus. Therefore, there's that unsettled feeling. And that unsettled feeling that a person has. Why is it that the Jewish people are the most driven people in the world? That our enemies understand this. And they interpret this in a way, of course, that is often true about many of us. That the Jews have to take this and have to do that and have to be the most successful, the most choshev. Where does that come from? So Chazal already said that it says in the Pasuk in Kehelet, HaNefesh Leitamali, that the soul cannot be filled. Shlomo HaMelech said, Moshe Lamad of a Dovid, to what could this be compared? It could be compared to a Bas Melech, a princess that married a Ben Krach, married a regular guy from town. She fell in love. They got married. He tries to bring all kinds of presents. No matter what he brings her, it's never going to be something that she's able to be excited about. Why? Because she comes from a palace. She saw the most beautiful things. Her husband's a Ben Krach. The husband's a guy from the village. He doesn't, what could he bring her that the princess hasn't already seen? So Chazal learned this, they use this mashal to explain what Shlomo Melech says, that the soul is not filled. V'anefesh lo tamali, the soul of the Jew cannot be filled. In other words, there's going to be that striving, there's going to be that yearning, that craving for something. That Jew understands that you're really a Bas Melech, that the Neshama is a Bas Melech, the Neshama comes from a place beyond this world, will seek to find wholeness, perfection, and fulfillment in things that are beyond this world. The one who is never going to be satisfied is that Jew who's trying to find contentment and trying to find fulfillment in things that are limited to this physical world. That's the problem. Stamal says, right, in the footnote 6, 4 lines down, Chiddush HaGadol Sanhedrin, if your business has a lot of potential, you understand that the only way that that's going to actually be realized is if I put in all my karkas. If I pour my energy into this business, so then it's going to be matzliach. So, and then I'll be able to perfect the business. So wherever there's something missing in perfection, it means that there's a demand for amelis. It means you have to work. You have to work. She at CL apparel, work means bringing something into reality. Kol Geshem who bekarich v'lo v'pol became in the Siv Hashalom, the Siv Yis Hashem, and so on. Chiddush Agos in Heaven, Netzach Yisrael. He writes over there. Hanivdol v'pol, only a malach, only that which is not of this world is in a state of perfection. V'hol the Magash me'ena v'pol raku bekarich. Ki zehu inyan achaymer shu bekarich v'kein klasu perak lamin of der chaim klasu of dak. Yachaymer hu madrega rishon el shel hanimtza. Vein l'chaymer mitzias v'pol raku bekarich. V'hatzura, only the spiritual essence. Hi madrega hashniu b'tzura hadov v'nimtza v'nishom v'pol legamrei. And he goes on with all of these riots, which is kedai to look at, and that's how he brings the Maral explains the famous Maamar Chazal. Mishatorach be'erev Shabbos, yoichel b'Shabbos. In other words, we do have a day that's a day of Menucha. Shabbos is a day of Menucha. Shabbos is a taste, is a me'ein olam haba, is a taste of a person coming to a state of Hashlama. Therefore, one must be in a state of Komalach techasuya. Shabbos, we are able to taste a little bit of that madrega of Hashlama. It's a day of Menucha. Therefore, it's not the time, it's not the whole essence of Shabbos is B'Shei V'Al Ta'aseh. It's really, Shabbos is B'Shei V'Al Ta'aseh. Right? Most of the, in Yonim of Shabbos b'shev al ta'aseh. There's also Kiddush, Navdol, and Tefillah, but the Ikar of Shabbos is b'shev al ta'aseh, which is interesting. There's a piece in the Pri Tzaddik of Tzaddik and Parshas Bolak where the Kohen there talks about the Eishes Chayil, talks about the capital Eishes Chayil that we say when we bring in Shabbos. So the whole Eishes Chayil is the whole Eishes Chayil is the capital there is describing the hard-working Jewish mother and wife, yeah, which of course is referring to Knesset Yisrael, is referring to Neshama and so on. It's also referring to one's wife, but that's the Shtauslus all the way Lamata till it comes into a human being. There was someone that told me that there's a certain place where they tell the boys in that yeshiva that when they get married, there's worse Narishkai coming from this place, unfortunately, but they tell the boys that when they get married, at Eishes Chayil they should go, the wife should come stand next to them, and they should say Eishes Chayil to the wife. Like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, High One used to say Eishes Chayil miyimso. That you should be said to the wife. a person who understands why the Eishes Chayil was put into the Seder of his mirrors, the same reason that the Mekubalim of Tzvas put in Lechadoidi and Shabbos Malkus Abayikala, it's not talking about the Kala of this world, it's talking about the Kala Hel Yoyna, it's talking about Knesset Yisrael, it's talking about the Jewish people, the Neshama, it's talking about Kutcher Brichu Ushchente, it's talking about the Shechina. To say, I'm not saying that doesn't have a shtalshlus down, because a wife does embody the Shechina in the home also. But that's already a nice drosha. But what it really is, the Eishes Chayil, the Eishes Chayil is talking about Knesset Yisrael, is talking about the Kala, the Neshama, and it's talking about the Shechina HaKadosha. So in the Eishes Chayil, in that capital that we say Shabbos, Eishes Chayil, it describes the busy work. I mean, how the Eishes Chayil is Ma'avad the Masas Allah Sheish Rav Gon Lamuva, you know, all of the avoid the Malacha. So Reb Tzaddik says it doesn't look too Shabbos dick when you read this. Like you finally come to Shabbos, right? And you give a Hashem, and already you're holding by Kiddush, right? So then you start to talk about what a crazy week it was. And all the greatness of the Eishes Chayil is all that she does through the night, and she stays up. But talking by Laila, but the Terlevesa, the Chagdan Arasah, which is all about a Kodesh Baruch and the Shechina. But it's such a frantic thing. So the Kohen says that in Pete Sadik and Bolik Hafadik, he has a whole Torah there where he says that the the Yisoid Hadavar is that when it comes to Shabbos, all of the energy of a Jew, all of that frantic energy of the 6 days of the week, one has to put into one's Menucha Shabbos. Menucha doesn't just mean, many people think Menucha means, the way in the secular world, what does Menucha mean? In the secular world, Menucha means, done, finished, I'm off. To a Jew, Menucha doesn't mean that. Menucha means, Michael Achal. It means that all of that energy that a Jew puts into the 6 days of the week, one has to pour those koiches into b'sheva al ta'aseh, to withdraw from the world. Because it really takes more koiches for you and I to withdraw from the world than to participate in the world. Isn't that true? To really keep Shabbos. Isn't it easier to be a person who's shomer sheishes me'maaseh to be shomer Shabbos? It's easier. It's easier to be a person that throws all of your koiches into the 6 days of the week than to be a person that throws all your koiches into Shabbos. Throwing your koiches into Shabbos doesn't mean that you're the first one up to bed. That I won the race. Throwing your koiches into Shabbos means, as I've been saying now in shul, and I'm sorry to be repetitious, the chari from shul that I talk about this now all the time, it means that if Friday night, you have a Friday night, you finished eating 7 o'clock, 6:30, it's already, you're finished with the Suda. How much time there is to learn, how much time there is to see certain things, like to chaza different things, to sit a little bit with the children, to sit with a wife, to be able to be a person that's going Michael Echal. That's what it means, Menucha. Menucha is a very busy thing by us. Menucha doesn't mean just to tune out. So he explains that Misha Tarach be'erev Shabbos Yechel b'Shabbos, the whole Bria is like that. That this world is a world that's called Erev Shabbos. Misha Tarach be'erev Shabbos. And that's this world. The world to come is a world that's called Yoichel B'Shabbos. That's when things are Minakoyach L'Parol. But this is a world that's constantly in a state of Minakoyach L'Parol, of working to bring something out Minakoyach L'Parol. And Shabbos doesn't just happen. You have to make Shabbos, you have to make it into Shabbos. And a marriage doesn't just happen either. It has to be with an unbelievable amelis that it should take, that it should be menakarich elapoyal. This is a big mistake that people make also. People make this mistake that Maral's talking about, that people are fooling themselves. They make this in every area of their life. They want to go into a marriage, but this marriage is already supposed to be perfect. It's already elapoyal. The kids nowadays go into a marriage mostly thinking that this has to already be bepoil. In every respect. Ben beruchnis, ben begashmis. Begashmis, you understand that I'm already married 6 months, how come I don't have my own house? My French prince had her own house after 3 months. Right? And I don't have my own house yet. So I'm already supposed to be bepoil. I'm supposed to have that success and that high-paying job. I'm supposed to have all the kelim and kelim shoinim that everybody else has that I would like to have. And ben beruchnis. Ben Baruchnius means that they expect to come into the marriage already being entirely, completely, and totally in love with each other, where the relationship has been worked out. And if they haven't worked out one of the pratim, then the last night before the chasta, they're having a whole discussion, because there's a certain prat about our relationship that I haven't worked out, because we want to go into the chasana where every single prat has been worked out. So this way, until we're 120, all we're going to be able to have is menuchas and nefesh and love each other and just make Google eyes and be happy. We're going to be happy. Who wants amelis? Yigi and amelis. We spoke about that in the first parak. Yigi and amelis. Nah. That's why it's so hard to make it work. Because oy vavoy, when it comes to that day, when all of a sudden it dawns upon them, you know, this isn't perfect. It's not the poil. Our relationship is only bekoyach, so that can't be. We went out for 14 years, and you're telling me that the relationship is only bekoyach, it's not bepoil. Everything has to be bepoil because we worked it out. We went to premarital therapy. We discussed things at length. We had 5,000 fights until we finally came to understand each other, and we understood each other. Everything was in a state of a pile. And then we went into the chuppah. And now we discovered that it's only b'kayach. And when that happens, with many of the couples nowadays, take me to the rabbi. Because what you're saying is that until we're 120, we're going to have to work. We're going to have to work on making this relationship a real relationship, to bring everything out in a karech lapoil. That's not everybody wants now this mistake that the Maral says you can make him. This is a very, very subtle thing that's going on all of the time. It used to be that a person understood that to be an odom means to be an omel. It means to be a someone that's a bala melus, that you have to work for everything that you get. That's not popular now. It's supposed to be already 100%. You have a guy sitting in yeshiva. He can't read Rashi, and you already see him on the table. He has the Sukkos Dovid, and Nachlas Moishes, and he has a Chidush of Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi, and he's asking somebody, "Was it say right or do not Tali Trop say whatever Reb Shimon Shkop say?" You know. So you say, "What does Rashi say?" Rashi. Rashi's not fun. Rashi's not they don't feel that Rashi's a hashlama. You understand? When you read a piece from Reb Chaim, ooh. Huh? You hear things from Briskarov? That's a Dovah Shalim. Rashi wasn't such a big lamdan. Rashi is not such a big lamdan. Rashi is, because you know why? Because Rashi, as all the Rishonim, they left it in a way that it should be, that we should be Maitzim and Akar HaLapoil. I saw, not that I have anything against this book, but I said to my wife around 12 years ago, 13 years ago, I said, there's going to come a day when they're going to start putting out in English Shagas Aryeh and Reb Chaim Brisker's thing. And I saw advertised Brisk on Chumash. I saw in the newspaper, Brisk on Chumash. I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's a beautiful thing. It's the Torah on Chumash. It's not the Brisker. It's not on Rambam. But still, what does that mean? Therefore, am I saying that Brisk shouldn't be available to people who don't speak Hebrew? I'm not saying, God forbid it. The Torah should be available to everybody. I'm not from that narrow shita. But on the other hand, there is something about it that makes me sad. I can't explain exactly, and I'm afraid to explain. And if it's going to be that there's going to be a Shai Gesai in English, then I'm going to leave. I don't know where I'm going to go. They're going to make a Shai Gesai in English, then it's time to leave. Because why is it that Mahasha is not popular anymore, right? Who learns Mahasha? In yeshiva, Mahasha is not popular. In the old days, They didn't go one taisus without Maharsha. Why isn't the Maharsha popular? I'm talking about people who learned in yeshiva. Why isn't the Maharsha popular? Chazanish also, not too many people learn Chazanish. The poskim all know Chazanish. The piskei halacha, but in terms of learning, How many people pick up Rav Moshe Feinstein's? How many people pick up the Dabas Moshe on Shas? Igus Moshe, but he wants because it's exciting. It says, it's a shaila. Are you allowed to brush your teeth on the second day Yontif that comes out on this day and that? Oh, I want to know. So you look it up and you find that everybody always goes to the end to see what Rav Moshe says at the end. Because they start off, right? You get all excited. It's a tshuva from Rav Moshe. You open up the Igus Moshe, then you go after three sentences, uh-oh. Because then you have to look up Rav Moshe and Kolotar Kula. So you have to start looking up all these Gemaras and Taisus, and you're not gonna. So then you just say, all right. So then you go, and you just wait to see what it says at the end. So mainly understand that people don't want to learn Mahasho, because when you learn Mahasho, it has to be L'shem Shemayim, because Mahasho is with an Amelis and Yigia. It means to understand that Taisus, a Jew that learns Mahasho inside out. Why is the Chazon Ish so hard? Because the Chazon Ish demanded that you know Shas. He didn't give you this. He didn't give you this beautiful little piece of lumdus so you should be able to say something to impress a bunch of people or somebody, a chevra, at the Shabbos table to say, oh, it's a din and that, and it's a chalais of this, a chalais of that, which is all true learning. I'm not saying Reb Chaim Brisky, he was able to say all of that. The problem is that we want, even our Torah should be in a state of hashlam. We don't want to have to climb up to Har Sinai. We want to be on Har Sinai. We want to be there already. And if it were possible to go to sleep, and somebody should pump it into your head, and you can wake up in the morning and be a little grow. You know, it would be very nice. And you know that the Goyin himself, as Reb Chaim Volozhiner told us in Hagdom at the Safa Ditznei, said that the Vilna Goyin rejected the Magid that came to reveal to him secrets of Torah, Kiyadur, that the Vilna Goyin refused to accept an angel telling him Torah, because the Goyin said that if I can't earn it on my own, if it's not my Torah, I'm not interested. That was the Vilna Gaon, and that's why he became the Vilna Gaon. But now, as far as all the people who think they're Vilna Gaon in these days, because they read all these books, and they've made all these kitzurim, they made all these things, and to say a little piece of lomdus, that a guy can go to yeshiva for 15 years, and he doesn't even know 25, 30 blot of Gemara. But he'll try to say over to you some Imre Moishes, and the Vichezkels, and Reb Chaims, and Reb Elvas, and he thinks it, and Reb Yashabez, all these things. And he said, Rabbi Shalom, any Jew from the old country, they would laugh at you, even though they'd say it's a very interesting thing. But it contradicts an open. It contradicts a Mishnah and Psachim. Mishnah and Psachim. Is it an Arvei Psachim? No. Oh, I never learned. I only learned Arvei Psachim, and I don't remember most of that either. Right. So you understand. You'll forgive me for getting. but this is the problem. Man is trying to deny the very essence of his being, which is you're only b'koyach, you're not b'poyel. You can make believe. You want to have your marriage to be b'poyel. You want to have your business to be b'poyel. You want your learning to be b'poyel. That's not how it is. it's amelis v'yegia. That's all. Let's continue back on page 9 on top. After footnote 9, yeah. This is the difference. This is what distinguishes man. I mean, it's aggravating, but this is what makes us different from all the higher beings and the lower beings, from all malachim and from all behemoths and plants and rocks. Because the higher beings are already in a state, their shleimus, their perfection has already been activated. It's in a state of a poyol. They don't have to be mitzvah, they're shleimus. They don't have to do anything to bring themselves to a state of that they're shleimus, that their perfection should be in a state of b'poyel. They don't have to work. They don't have to have any yegiah. They don't have to go to Malach University or anything. They don't have to learn anything. Thus is thus. V'atachtoinim, and the lower beings, zulos adam, with the exception of man, ein lehem gam ken yitzil apoyel. They also are not in a state of lech lecha. The malachim are not in a state of lech lecha. The behemoths are not in lech lecha. The plants are not in lech lecha. Only in Adam is lech lecha. That's it. Kimasha nivru alav ein hishtanus v'yitzir l'poyol behem. An animal cannot change. As I mentioned when we were learning in the last two prokim, an animal doesn't sit around thinking, you know, that this is already ridiculous. I have to improve my life. How much longer can I go on like this, eating on the floor and acting this way? It's bizyoinus. Just because I'm surrounded by behemoths, I don't have to be a behemoth. The animal is not introspective. As much, again, this is something that... This is also part of the sickness of society. This is also a sickness in society where... And this is a little bit of our desire. But it has to do with the whole Indian of what Avodah Zarah is, which is the opposite of what the Maharal is talking about. The Indian of Avodah Zarah is that everything should be bepoil, that there's no Amal V'yagiyah, that there are outside kaychas that are going to take care of everything. This is all part of Avodah Zarah. The fact that animals are given human characteristics, and more so in America as we progress, as we get closer to the end, that you find that people, that children are growing up thinking that, you know, they think that animals, if an animal doesn't talk, they're surprised. Because everything they ever saw on the television or read in any book, animals are supposed to be friendly and intelligent, and animals, and then they don't understand because they finally meet a real dog, and all this sounds like an idiot, just barks like an idiot. Every dog I ever met until now is more intelligent than my father. And all of a sudden I meet a dog, and this dog doesn't have anything to say. It's funny and it's sad. This worship of animals, stuffed animals, this whole deification of behemoths is a deification of laziness, of emptiness, of not. I'm not saying this is what people are thinking. I'm thinking like I'm a meshugana. Kid just wants to have a stuffed animal. I'm not talking about any kind of the person's thinking like this. But that's, I never speak about. That's not my point. My point is that there's a metzias in the world, and a Jew has to look at the metzias and say, what is this? What's going on? And what's it reflecting upon? What's it showing? What's the gilui? The gilui, it seems to me, is a gilui of a world that wants to be and not to become. Because that's what a behemoth is. The happy little creature that is what it is and doesn't have to become anything. Doesn't have to earn, doesn't have to work, doesn't have to have amelis and yagia. It doesn't have to be mighty in a karech alapah, because that's what a behemoth is. As the Maharal explains, that's what it means. Bama. V'yira, and he says, look and think about this. We spoke about this last parable. Sheshmoy Moira al Dovra Atzma. So he says, Shumiyuchad by Ha'odam Mikol. Man is unique. Man is different. And he says, therefore, this unique being is called Vizeshu Nikra Odam. Why is man called Odam? So it says in Chumash, Al Shem Al Shehu Ofram and Ha'adamah. He's called Adam because he's an Ofram and Ha'adam, right? Because he was created from the dirt, from the earth. He's an Adam, he's min Ha'adam. Let's look for a second in 13. He brings from Ravutni here something. Footnote 13. Kan Moisif Shahashem Moiral Amuhusam Yuchedis label Vad. The name of something is an indication of its, of that which is unique to it. That somebody's name, all the names in Tanakh and the names that our parents have, Aruch HaKodesh, to name us with a certain name, that reveals the special inyan, the special tafkid and tachlis of that human being. So Futner writes over there. Certainly the name of something is related to that which is unique in that person. Not something that he shares with someone else. The Maral says, he brings this beautiful and famous chiddush in the Maral. But the Maral explains that why is it Maseches Shabbos that the Gemara Shabbos begins with Maleches Haitzah? Shabbos begins with a malacha of haitzah, of carrying from one rishus to another, from one domain to another, which you wouldn't say offhand would be the first malacha that you should begin with. In the state of the malachas, that begins with malacha, because you know that haitzah is a malacha grua, right? Which is discussed there in Taisus. Haitzah is not typical of other malachas. The essential malachas of Shabbos are malachas what? Where there's something creative that's happening, right? Where you're changing the status of something. Whereas haitzah, as is discussed there in Taisus, Haitzah is a malacha grua, because Haitzah, you're not changing something, you're just transferring it from one rishus to another rishus, from one place to another place. So the Maral explains, so why does Masechta Shabbos begin with Haitzah? It should begin with something which is more uniquely Shabbatic, which is something creative, which is one of the malachas that deals with that which Shabbos is coming to heal in the world. So why does it begin with Haitzah? So the Maral says, a gevaldig yechidish. Why? The malachas Haitzah, the whom Yishum the Ein Melechas Haitzah and the Heges Biyantiv. Hear the Maral's Chiddush. The reason the Masechta Shabbos begins with Haitzah, you can ask kashas on this, but hear the Yisayt. That the reason that Masechta Shabbos begins with Haitzah is because there's no Haitzah, there's no Isser Haitzah in Yantiv. What's the pshat? The beginning of something is its essence. Therefore, something that's, therefore, if Masechta Shabbos begins, it must begin with something which is uniquely Shabbos. It must begin with something which is a pnimius of Shabbos, and that which is the pnimius of a pnimius cannot be shared with anybody else. Just like the deepest secret within you can't share with anyone else. Therefore, it must be that Shabbos begins with a melacha that it does not share with Yontif. So you can ask about Eichel Nefesh, that's not a kash. In Lom, this is not a kash. I don't want to go into it right now. Because it's not that there's Bechlal no inyan of Eichel Nefesh, I don't want to go into it. But when it comes to Hoitzah, so that there, that the Masechta begins with that which is uniquely Shabbos. It has only, Shabbos is not sharing it with Yontif. It's not sharing it with Yontif. And then, by Yom Kippur, of course, and so, but the Yesod I want you to hear. The Yesod of the morale is, this Rav Huttner brings this Yesod. That's what he explains. Shabbos means that which is uniquely Shabbos. Shumalachas Eitzah, which is the malach of carrying from one place to another. Mahasher al shar hamalachas, it relates more to Shabbos than other malachas. Asher behen who mishtatif im makroi kodesh bechlal, because Shabbos has to share the other things with Yontif when it comes to the other malachas. Varin is barakan she yichud ha'adam hu bekach shu moitzi es atzum mehakoyach el apoyl. This is what is, in other words, why is man called an Adam? Because we're going to learn now that Adam, min ha'adama, means man's ability, just like the earth has the ability to take something which is in potential, to take a seed and to draw out its those kaiches and to bring it into reality, to make it into a plant. That's why man is called Adam. Because it means that which he shares with no other creature in the world. Man, there's nothing in the world, man does not share this with anyone else. Man alone has the ability to bring something menakayach el apoyel. Therefore, he's named after the Adama, which means Yitzia menakayach el apoyel. Back upstairs.
How do we understand two people of the same exact name?
Okay, so the you know, that's a good question. What about you have two people that their name is Avram Yitzchak? It means it has to be Avram Yitzchak, and it has to be the parents' name too, right? The father's name and the mother's name, because that's also, there's also hishtatfus in that. And there are other protim, but there have been situations like this. There was a ma'isa. There was a ma'isa with the Rimnitzer. The Rimnitzer was a big Malmaifis, right? Did anybody ever see the Rimnitzer? He saw the. He was a big Malmaifis. But there were Maifisim Gluim. You didn't have to darshan. There were Maifisim Nisim Gluim. It's a ma'isa by Rimnitzer that I heard from a friend of mine who knew the family. A good friend of mine knew this family. There was a girl that was going out with a fellow. A shidduch was made. The girl wasn't crazy about the shidduch, but her father wanted it very badly. And they brought the name of the boy and the girl to the. They brought the name to the Rimnitzer. And then this is sad. It stims. It's a shidduch. The girl's father was a Rimnitzer chassid, and that was it. It's finished. The Rebbe says the names are good. The boy wants, but the daughter wasn't feeling good about it. So the daughter went out a few more times. And she didn't want to marry the guy. So the father was very upset, and the father was pushing it. And in the end, she absolutely refused. And there was a big fight in the family, and she refused to go along with it. She said, I can't marry this guy. I'm not here. I don't want him. You're going against the Rebbe and this and that, the whole mice. So this friend of mine told me the soif mice was that they, in the end, they tried going out one more time because the father begged, and the Rebbe, I think, even called up, and she agreed only out of respect for the Rebbe, but she couldn't marry the guy. And in the end, they both got married to people with the exact same name.
Same parents, then?
Same parents. Both parents, father and mother. Which I never heard in my life such a thing. Every name, and it wasn't like Avram Ben. There were names like, you know, Tzvi Hirsch Ben this and that, and the father and mother and kids. So they tell the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, like a Rebbe's way of saying, whoops. sorry. I mean, I saw the names. The names were, it was gone. Everything was going. So there are slight, almost imperceptible differences between. And it has to do with the Shiroshim and so on. But the names, the meaning of the name is a very big thing. It's a very, very big thing. So back on top. So he says, Vezeshu nikra Adam. Why is man called Adam? He's called Adam Alshu Ofim and Adam, because he comes from the earth. So now you could ask a kasha. V'chi kol sharanim sem enim in adama? What's that? A human being comes from the adama. Everything comes from the, everything was created from the offer, from the dirt. She yikare ha'adam b'yichid b'shem adam. That only human being is called an adam because he's from the adama. Everything's from the adama. All physical things are from the adama. Al shem shenivim in adama. Avol inyan ha'adam is yachas b'yoysel ha'adama. Mal says that, no. It's true that animals, everything comes from the Adama, but the essence of man is the Adama. What does that mean? V'zekia ha'adama him yuchedus b'zeh shehi b'kayach. Earth on its own is that which is most, which is considered to be most unimportant, most unnecessary. You look at the dirt, you step on it, you, has no, you don't care about it. But there is nothing in the world that has as much of an ability that has in it somehow this mysterious ability to take something that's bekayach, that's potential, and to push it into reality. To take something min hakayach lepoel. V'yesh b'yitzia lepoel, that's what he says. Ki adam him yuchedes b'zeh shi bekayach, v'yesh b'yitzia lepoel, kol advar m'sheyotze mimena. The earth is unbelievable. That which seems to be so unimportant, so weak, and so on, that this very same thing, Davke, has the ability to bring everything. The ilanis, the trees, the plants, v'shakol advarim, v'ibachol v'ibekarch lekolza. The earth is bekayach lekolza. V'zehu inyan ha'adam, and this is the inyan of the human being. Shuhu bekayach. That the definition of human being is that which is bekayach. V'yoyitzeh shleimusa l'parol, the job of human being is the same as the Adama. To take that which was planted in me, that which I was given, this raw material, to take all of this and to somehow bring it min hakayach l'parol. That's man's job, to bring it min hakayach l'parol. L'fichach, therefore, shmoi, therefore the name of a human being, that he has such a name as the Adama, that this too is man's tachlis, this is the essence of man, that Adama. And mimele, like the Ramban says, that the name Adam is Adama le'elyon. He brings the pasuk in Navi. That man has the ability to resemble the highest world. It's only the one who recognizes that man comes min ha'adama and that his job is to be ma'isi min ha'karech ha'lapoyel. It's only that person who recognizes that who can ultimately come to that madrega where it's adam le'elyon, where I can resemble those karechus that have been completely brought out. That shleimus that is in this complete state of a poil that's been completely activated. Only the one who makes himself bottle. Like the seed in the ground, and understands that he has to work all of his life to bring his kaiches out. That Adam who comes min ha'adama can ultimately come to a madrega that's called Adam le'elyon. I resemble the malachim. I'm worthy of being called the tzelem elokim, of being in God's image. Therefore, this takes 2 minutes. This paragraph. Ulekach. Therefore, shleimus adam nikra gam ken b'shem pri. Therefore, we find that in Tanakh and in Chazal. The word pri, fruit, is being used to describe man's shleimus. Kedichsiv b'kro, says in Pasuk, Imru tzadik ki toiv, ki pri malaleihem yechelu. Imru tzadik ki toiv. The tzadik is good. Ki pri malaleihem yechelu, he's compared to the one who's able to eat the fruit of his labor. Harisha schus v'ashleimus yikari pri. So we see this, that the schus, that to reach a madrega, it's called fruit. It's called the pri. K'may sha'amu v'perek kamed k'dushin or v'perek egla rufa. It says there in the Gemara, v'haridu es ha'egla al-nachal eison. By the Indian of the egla rufa, it would be taken into the place, that dried riverbed of nachal eison. Om Reb Yechne ben Sholmet neima om retayra ha've ha'egla b'nachal. Why did the Torah say to Davke to bring this egla when the body was found between the two cities, to bring the Egler Rufa Davke to the Nachal Eisan, to the dried out riverbed. Let this person Yovai Dovish Le Osa Peris, the Egla that is still the, this talking first about the Egla, the cat, the little baby that is only that hasn't yet had it's only a bashana that's not able to give birth. Let this baby, this little calf that hasn't had payers, the yareif, and it should be broken, the mokum sheino oise payers, in a place, in a dried up riverbed that is not being productive, that is not able to produce any fruits. Bishvil mishla he nicho oise lasas payers, for this person who was killed, or this person who was left for dead, who died, who didn't have the opportunity to continue to bring payers into the world, children and mitzvahs and masam toivim, that his life was cut short. That's what it says. So, my payer is. So, what does it mean that he couldn't? What does it mean that this person couldn't bring any payers into the world? My payer is. The Gemara says, "E lema payer of you." If you want to say it means children, azokin vasaros hachanami b'layafinan. So, what happens if it's an old man who already had kids, or if it's a saros who can't have kids? So why? So. So then, for such a person that wouldn't, you don't bring an egla rufa. In other words, if it's an old man that's past the time of having children, or someone that can't have children is found dead, so he can't have payers bankach. He can't have payers. So therefore, him you don't bring an egla rufa. Only when you stop the payers from growing, ella mitzvahs adkan. So Gemara says payers doesn't mean just peyrivivia. Doesn't mean kids. Pasha pshat. That's what it sounds like. It doesn't mean that. It means for anybody that's an egla rufa. Why? Because the payers of a Jew are his mitzvahs. There's mitzvahs and lasam toivim. Adkan, that's the Gemara says. Harei, next page. Harei, v'shvil shalai haitzi shleimus shalai elapayil. He couldn't bring his shleimus elapayil. Through mitzvahs, through learning more, through davening more, there was part of him that was unspoken, there was part of him that was unfinished. He couldn't finish his journey. So as a result of that, hukamai ha'adama shalai osta peiris. It's like the earth that wasn't able to bring payers. It had all the potential, but it didn't bring it about. It didn't actually activate it. Venisha Bekoyach, and things remained in a state of Bekoyach. Couldn't be. Lefichach Shmoish, Nikra B'Shem Adama. Therefore, the fact that man is called Adama, is called Adam B'Shem Na'aloi, this name befits man, V'hu Na'al Shmoi. And he is completely. In other words, it's not just that he resembles that, but that's befrat. That's exactly what the human being is. That in the world that has the unique ability to take that which is bekayach, and through his observance of Torah and mitzvahs, he's able to bring about the realization of all those deeper dormant kayaches bepoil, and to have the payers in this world to reach a state of shleimus. The Bezah Hashem is Baruch, we should be able to taste of these pears, and we'll continue next week defining what a behemah is, the opposite of that, and the moral goes into a discussion of amelus beguf and amelus benefesh. Shkai.